السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، أحمده حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا أبدا سرمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله أزواجه وذرياته وأهله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الغر الميامين ومن اهتدى بهديهم والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، آمين. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, المرء مع من أحب. Says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. المرء مع من أحب. Every عبد, every servant of Allah, every individual will be, that is, as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awards, will be with the one whom he or she loves. For our love for the Sahaba, our love for the Tabi'un, if we truly love them because they loved Allah and His Rasul, when we love them, رضي الله تعالى عنهم وأرضاهم, that is a prayer, an active prayer with our hal, with our really something that comes within us, that is exhibited in our characteristics and in our conduct. In our hal, we are with those Sahaba, and thus we will be with them, inshaAllah ta'ala, in the Day of Judgment. And I was meaning to say that with that hal, it's a prayer. Our hal is a prayer. It's a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor us with their company. المرء مع من أحب. And therefore, the hub of those who have hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ta'a for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is itself ta'a for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from us. And that we seek their company, rahmahum Allah ta'ala wa radhi Allah ta'ala anhum, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us their company, some of them in dunya, and most importantly, inshaAllah ta'ala, in akhirah. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. المرء مع من أحب، whether positive or negative. مع من أحب. One may sometimes have hub for evil people, for fasiq people, for wicked people, for Allah. People who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those also will be with those whom they love. The popular example, الطيور على أشكالها تقع. الطيور على أشكالها تقع. That is, birds congregate with their kind. So the قلوب also congregate, the hearts congregate with their kind. The قلوب congregate with their kind. الأرواح جنود مجندة ما تعارف منها أتلف. As Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم teaches, وما تناكر منها اختلف. Souls themselves, the أرواح, are also congregate with their kind. And sometimes that's why you feel, sometimes when an individual feels a very natural, sometimes to many, unexplainable affinity to someone else, having never met before. And subhanAllah, there is that affinity. And that's one way also to understand this rawhani relationship. That the arwah also meet and congregate and are drawn to each other and to their kind. And of course, this tells you and me automatically that I need to develop my qalb, to clean my qalb, such that, inshaAllah ta'ala, my qalb also, in the way it attains its happiness, it will congregate with its kind. And that's why only when my qalb is polished to a certain level and cleansed, that I would be able to see, to recognize the salihun. Because now my qalb is allowed to congregate, or at least to be near enough, maybe not there. Before that, my qalb would not go to recognize those salihun, because it is not the same kind. The qulub and the arwah do not meet with each other when they are different, like that. And thus when my qalb cleanses, alhamdulillah, then it is allowed to congregate with the qulub that are similar to it in characteristics. It will be allowed even. Remember that saying of Shaykh Abdul Qadir rahmahullah ta'ala, the meaning that sometimes we don't see and we don't recognize in the physical world some of the salihun radiyallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardahum and awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because they don't exist, but because our hearts do not congregate around theirs, because they're not allowed to. And the example he set, rahimahullah ta'ala, is I think I told you about it. The daughter's king, I'm sorry, the king's daughter, would not be, in, especially in the days when there was hishma and there was haya, ila harizalik, she will not be exposed to just any person who is dirty and filthy and uncaring and rude, ila harizalik. He or some other person will not even be able to take a glance at her. And the ibadullah as-salihun wa awliya'ullah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-muqarrabun wa ta'ala Allahu anil amthal, and may Allah be exalted from analogies, are his elect creation. He loves them very much. And they are very special. He's not going to allow someone whose inner characteristics, whose qalb, whose ruh are not tahira enough, not clean enough to be able to be in their company and even sometimes to recognize them. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, my dear brothers and sisters. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. That means the more I cleanse my qalb, the more I cleanse myself, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be ibnillah. Allow me to discover other qulub that are beautiful, and will, in other words, as I grow in my qalb, perhaps that the kind of people I congregate with will also be changed for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that when He wants khair for His abd. When he loves the abd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that mahbubiya is attained, he protects his abd, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He protects his abd. In the bala, he protects his abd. Even in the bala, in affliction and in ordeal, that he subhanahu wa ta'ala sends forth for him or her. He sends them forth for him or her, in order to atone for their sins, or in order to elevate them in degrees of nearness to Him. He protects them in bala. He protects their qulub from losing their connectedness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from losing their ikhlas, from losing their istislam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He protects them in bala, because He intends the bala for them to raise them in degrees and to exalt them in stations of nearness to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, the scheme that we had and that we have about tazkiyah, namely the summary of the tazkiyah of the nafs, ilm, which we've been covering aspects of, summary of, and tawbah and mujahada, and the elements of mujahada, the support mechanisms of mujahada, which we have not dealt with in detail yet, are again al-khalwa, because now you studied basically again some important aspects of khalwa, and that khalwa is an essential element in tazkiyah, which is directly connected to khalwa, to mujahada, the mujahada towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be made easy without khalwa, without moments of khalwa, at least without intermittent periods of khalwa, for the reasons we have mentioned, and samt, quietness, less speaking, without less sleeping. But one sleeps only to that level which is necessary and needed to be, alhamdulillah, alert and conscious and aware to continue the path of ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the road towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we eat too much, then we can't move, even physically, let alone spiritually. And inshallah, hopefully, throughout these days, we'll have something to say about each one of those, as we had about khalwa, and less eating and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, most importantly. And as we are learning these, alhamdulillah, we try to incorporate them already, to incorporate of those as much as we can gradually, inshallah ta'ala, gradually and patiently. Keep that scheme in mind, always. And if there is anything that is going wrong in the ability of the system of tazkiyah to run smoothly, even after we began it, and it will take time for it to run smoothly, then if something is not running smooth, the answer is right there. Which one of the spiritual connectors, I don't want to say screws, you know, screw in the spiritual sense, spiritual screw. The word screw is like machine, like iron, like, doesn't fit in the spiritual language. Doesn't feel right to say a machine, a spiritual machine. Doesn't, right? Alhamdulillah that you feel the same. I'm not the only one that we say it's a spiritual screw or nail. SubhanAllah. So until this spiritual, alhamdulillah, cycle or system reaches its steady state, whenever there is something that is flaw, we can see which one of those connectors is missing. Could be all any one of those connectors, or a combination thereof, or it could be any in one of the major characteristics of tazkiyah, from ilm to tawbah to mujahada. Now, ilm, part of the essential intent of it is to generate, as we learned, to generate awareness in us about al-Khaliq subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the makhluqat, the created things, including my, and especially including my own nafs. And we have learned, as we begin, alhamdulillah, to be conscious and aware of that through a regular diet of ilm, And note how often I'm emphasizing regular diet of ilm. Diet. Regular means consistent, regularly, daily. And diet means not just any ilm, not just any ilm, for there is in the realm of the tazkiyah, there is what I would call junk ilm, that the intake of which does not benefit you and harms you. Does not benefit you and harms you. Does not benefit me and harms me. A regular diet of ilm, it creates that awareness in me. It generates that awareness in me about my khaliq and the makhluqat and the created world, in particular, my nafs. And we have seen somehow how that occurs. And then that awareness about my nafs and my khaliq leads me to the awareness, remember, of my dhunub. Of my dhunub, of how I have behaved so far with this khaliq, now about whom I know much more than I knew before. His perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then my imperfection. His kindness, his rahmah, his generosity, and my ingratitude, subhanahu wa ta'ala. My audacity at sinning against him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by sinning directly against his rights and against the rights of his creatures. I realize what dhunub do to me, how far they have held me back, how far they will continue to hold me back in my journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my journey towards happiness. I realize that, then that will, and amongst many other things, it will generate in me certainly pain, regret, sorrow, grief for the past. That grief, that sorrow, that regret, which becomes pain even inside, in my nafs, in my qalb, that will, as I said, generate pain and a burst of those feelings. A burst of them. You feel a burst. That's the best way I find to express what goes on inside of me. When there is that burst, and then a burst of, I will never want to go back again. A burst that says this, that feels like, no, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to that state anymore. And another burst of, I want to be like him and her, those who have been far ahead of me in the caravan of the travelers towards the home of peace. And what they must have been by now experiencing. Then it's about the future. There is longing. There is desire in me. Burst of longing and desire when I am in their company through, for example, studying their seerah. Studying their life stories. Or some of whom, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even granted me to know them and to see some of them. لأن الخير لا ينقطع من أمة محمد إلى يوم الدين. Goodness shall never cease from the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم until the day of resurrection. Then I have that longing and that desire. That burst of longing and desire, with the burst of regret and sorrow and grief and pain about the past, that is tawbah. That is tawbah. لذلك قالوا التوبة linguistically is actually تاب يعني رجع. تاب يعني رجع means to return. To return. Abdu has run away from his Lord. In his or her tawbah now, is going back to his or her Lord. Abd, a runaway Abd, from his most munificent Khaliq and Master and Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Abd goes back. Now the Abd, after, unfortunately, and that's sometimes what happens to most human beings, after thinking that I can be away from my master, I can live happy away from him. And then when I get the chance to be alone, then I begin to realize that there is nothing, no one, as gentle, as giving, as forgiving, as merciful, as perfect as him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I go back. I go back to him. That's Tawbah. And then there's that burst inside of me of pain. How ingrate I was and how dumb I was. But then will he accept me? Will he accept me back? I was with him, but I chose to run away from him. I was with him, he accepted me. I ran away, and how long was I run away? 6 months? 6 years? 20 years? 40 years? Will he accept me ever back? Will he accept me ever back? And thus, tawbah is that nadamun muhriq, as they say, nadamun muhriq, wa azmun محقق. ندم محرق وعزم محقق. It's a burning regret inside. Burning burst of regret and of sorrow. And عزم محقق. And the resolve that is for the future, محقق. Certain. Not shaky. Not vacillating. عزم محقق. Will he accept me back? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we know the answer, don't we? But imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, as though you never knew the answer. Imagine, again, tawbah requires that we really go through with our qulub now, through our past history. And the fear of not being accepted. Actually, the ta'ib, the more he or she is deep in his or her tawbah, actually the more he or she begins to know more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a matter of fact, when a person is in tawbah, which strangely tawbah is also generated by fear, because ilm generates fear. And interestingly, tawbah emphasizes fear at many levels of the past to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because then we begin to know more about Allah azza wa jalla, and we begin to see our faults even with clearer inner eyes. And the discrepancy between the imperfection of our nufus, the ungrateful nature of our nufus and Allah's perfection and Allah's kindness, and then we begin to be very afraid. Will he accept us? The ta'ib, the true ta'ib, when he or she comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah somehow subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the abd in that beginning of tawbah, alhamdulillah, a very strong feeling of acceptance. One feels that in his or her qalb. Feels accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feels that, subhanallah. feels liberated, feels like that, you remember that cyst of pus, feels it now bursted out, feel the pressure removed. In the beginning you have that. And alhamdulillah that there is that. But then, as one continues, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear actually becomes more and more discernible and marked. For some many reasons, some of which inshallah maybe we'll talk about later. Because, let me say this, when we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He accepts our repentance subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we feel cleared. But then the more we walk forward in that journey, the more we discover of Allah's majesty and beauty. Because we're getting closer with our qulub. Then we remember the dhunub that we committed before, for which we were forgiven, inshaAllah. But then there is something that remains always. The more we become nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haya from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sometimes you have that feeling of haya. Because then you begin to realize, ya, your moment of solitude, after your tawbah of a while, I have sinned against you while you were looking at me. That becomes unbearable. As we become more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we realize His rahmah and His jalal, mercy and His forgiveness and His beauty and His majesty, then haya becomes overwhelming. I have done that while you were looking at me. And the qalb of the individual reach that state after some perhaps level of steady state in tawbah. Always. SubhanAllah. But will He accept me? Will He accept me? Oh. InshaAllah, the general rule, if tawbah is nasuh, is yes. And He gives us, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this most beautiful parable amongst many. When He was one day sitting with His Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa arvahum, and then He asks them a question. أَيَفْرَحُ أَحَدُكُمْ بِضَالَّتِهِ أَيَفْرَحُ أَحَدُكُمْ بِضَالَّتِهِ بَعْدَ أَنْ وَجَدَهَا فَقَالُوا نَعَمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Will any one of you be pleased and happy with his أَيَفْرَحُ أَحَدُكُمْ بِرَاحِلَتِهِ عَفْوًا أَيَفْرَحُ أَحَدُكُمْ بِرَاحِلَتِهِ إِنْ ظَلَّتْ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ وَجَدَهَا. Will any one of you be rejoicing and pleased and happy with finding your means of transportation, your camel, you were traveling in the desert, after you lost it, and then you found it again? They said, Na'am ya Rasulullah. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna Allah la'afrahu bi tawbati abdihi min ahadikum بضالته من أحدكم براحلته بعد أن ضلت منه فوجدها. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. That Allah Azza wa Jal is even happier than one of you having lost his camel and found it again, when his abd subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the human being comes back to him, repents to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this beautiful subhanallah relationship. Then in this case, who is the lost camel? Who is the lost camel? Who? Huh? I would like to say I. Say I am the lost camel. Who is my owner? SubhanAllah. Look. And Allah lost. La ilaha. Look at this rahmah. Allah lost me. He looks at me, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his abd, as you lost, a loss. He lost me. And then he finds me again. And he is happy to find this abd again. And when abd is dal, dal means what? Lost. Literally. You were going your way and you got lost. Look how nice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with his ibad. Dal. Dal. We hear this word dal, right? It sounds terrible, usually. People, because somehow the cultural connotations we had with them. But dal, Allah is saying, you were lost to me. And then, when you are in tawbah, my abd, he's saying, I find you back. And I am very happy. La ilaha illallah. Allahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min al-ummi biwaladiha. Isn't he? Isn't he, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has more hubb and more rahmah. Has more rahmah for his ibad than the mother for her child. And the mother is happy to receive her child back. And Allah is happier to receive his abd back. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ta'ala Allahu anil ashbahi wa sifat. Wa sifati ghayri al-kamal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore commands us, my dear brothers and sisters, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. It's a command, it's a verb of command, أمر. وَهُنَا الْأَمْرُ يُفِيدُ الْوُجُوبِ بِالْقَرَائِنِ الْكَثِيرَةِ الدَّالَّةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. This is a verb of command that implies obligation, and all the indicators in shara' indicate that this command does imply obligation. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu. Oh, you who have attained faith. Alladhina amanu tubu. But I'm a mu'min. Tubu. That's what we... There is a tawbah in the beginning, away from shirk, away from kufr, and there is tawbah in the process of the cycle of tazkiyah continuously from the many imperfections, some of which we are going to talk about inshaAllah ta'ala. Tubu ilallah, ya, O you who believe, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, noted, tubu ilallah, tawbatan nasuha, a tawbah that is nasuh, we shall come back to that inshaAllah later. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. And if you don't, the other ayah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In another ayah amongst many, many ayat, says Allah Azza wa Jal, and he who or she who does not come in tawbah, does not repent, then such are the zalimun, the unjust. The unjust. The unjust. That is, one continues to be living in ghafla, one continues to be living in unawareness, one continues to be living in ma'asiyah, in sinfulness, and all of those actions are actions of dhulm, of injustice as well. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And dhulm is categorically haram. It is not simply makruh. Dhulm is haram. And therefore not to be in tawbah is obviously haram. And therefore to be in tawbah is wajib. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And of course, alhamdulillah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. And then when we are in tawbah, in tawbah nasuh especially, then Allah Azza wa Jal says, verily that Allah Azza wa Jal has hubb for those who are persistent in their tawbah. يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Not only التَّائِبِينَ. You know the difference between ta'ib and tawwab. In the Arabic language, tawwab is sighatul mubalagha. It's a hyperbole type of language usage, which emphasizes that the abd is in tawbah constantly, not just occasionally, or once in a while, or always in renewal of his or her tawbah. Always, in other words, once he has this possession or this nice pet called tawbah, then you have to take good care of that pet. You have to take good care of that pet so that it becomes a state of tawwab. You have to be watchful for that gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is called tawbah. You have to nurture it, you have to maintain it, otherwise it will starve, it will die, and I go back to the state of loss again. أصدق الناس كما قالوا أصدق الناس القائم بتوبته. Subhanallah. Ya Allah, these are أنطقهم الله بالحكمة. أصدق الناس القائم بتوبته وأكذب الناس العائد في ذنبه. أصدق الناس القائم بتوبته وأكذب الناس العائد في ذنبه وأعلم الناس أعلم الناس الخائف من ربه وأجهل الناس الفاخر بحسناته. سبحان الله. أصدق الناس, the most truthful of people, guess who? Who is the most truthful of people? القائم بتوبته. القائم, like the قيم, emphasis of قائم, ابن القيم. The emphasis of قائم is قيم or قيوم even. And قائم بتوبته is the one who maintains and cares for his tawbah or her tawbah. Standing up, making sure that the tawbah is getting what it needs. To be nurtured and to be healthy and to grow. القائم بتوبته. So that's why when we have a guest, you say, قم بضيفك. If you have a guest, we say, قم بضيفك. قم means literally stand up for your guest, which means serve your guest, take care of your guest. Not disregard your guest. القائم بتوبته. أصدق الناس, the most truthful of people, القائم بتوبته. And the one who is truthful, subhanAllah, من علامات الصدق طبعا, that the person who is صادق and صدوق is in everything. In everything. And that person would want his or her tawbah also to be صادقة. He wants to be صادق in his tawbah or her tawbah. like a person when he does work. You have a person who does work, who is sadiq in the work he or she does. And a person who is not sadiq. Sadiqun fi amalihi, in other words, he or she does it to perfection. Cares for it. Does work to perfection. Meticulous, looks even for details, for aesthetics, after having taken good care for the basics, the fundamentals and the original structure, then does it to perfection. صادقٌ في فعله صادقٌ في عمله. We say also صادقٌ في مثلا صداقته. A person is صادق in his friendship or her friendship. Really takes that very, very seriously. Truthful, gives it all its due rights of respect to the friend, and does not allow, for example, the friendship that is between you and the casual relationship that is between you and your friend. He doesn't allow it to lead him or her to diminish from the rights of the friend. Sometimes when we have friends, their rights, because they're friends. That's not sadaqa. Sadaqa. Sadaqa should not lead me to disregard now the rights of my sadiq. Let never, and the salihun al-arifun always admonish with that. Let not your mawadda for your brother lead you to disregard his rights or her rights over you. Of which respect and of which haya and etc. So one is sadiq in his friendship versus the person who is light in the way he takes that friendship. وَأَكْذَبُ النَّاسِ الْعَائِدُ فِي ذَنْبِهِ. And the one who is worst a liar, the one who is worst a liar is the one who returns to sinning after having repented from it. أكذب الناس العائد في ذنبه. Yet that doesn't close the door of tawbah. Again, tawbah from that recidivist attitude, it requires a new tawbah and a new tawbah. Because in the beginning, we may not be in a state of tawbah when we don't know and we think we are, but that would be a state of tatawub. State of tatawub. That is struggling to be in tawbah. Like a person who wants to be sabir, patient, but finds it very difficult, but struggles, continues to struggle. That person is not sabir, but is what? Mutasabbir. Mutasabbir. And basically every maqam, every such station in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as sabran, shukran, and dhikran, and inaba, and all of these have beginning state and an intermediate and a steady state and an advanced level. So the beginnings of sabr is tasabbur. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all his rahmah, he said, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ. The one who exerts himself or herself to be patient, to be sabr. In other words, that's, as you will know, it will be, that's mujahada. If you continue to do that, then a gift comes from Allah of sabr given to you. Then Allah will give you sabr. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ. Inshallah. وَمَنْ يَتَتَوَّبْ. That's an addition, that's not a text. وَمَنْ يَتَتَوَّبْ يَرْزُقُ اللَّهُ التَّوْبَةِ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. As they say, the beginning is from us. We have to set the initial conditions for the system to run. accept those initial conditions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will energize you, will do the rest. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ النِّهَايَةِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ النِّهَايَةِ I begin, I set the initial conditions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the ultimate end that I seek. And then what did we say about those? أَصْدَقُ النَّاسِ وَأَكْذَبُ النَّاسِ وَأَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ الْخَائِفُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ أَخْوَفُهُمْ لِرَبِّهِ وَأَخْوَفُهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The most knowledgeable, the most knowledgeable of people, the one who has most ilm, really ilm, who is he? The one who is most fearful of his Lord or her Lord. The one who is most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ أَخْوَفُهُمْ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ says Allah عز وجل. Says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنِّي أَعْلَمُكُمْ أَوْ أَعْرَفُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَإِنِّي أَخْوَفُكُمْ لَهِ says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. I am most knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of you. And I am most fearful of Him. أَخْوَفُهُمْ لِرَبِّهِ. And somehow, the words of Hikmah and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentions أَخْوَفُهُمْ. He didn't mention أَحَبُّهُمْ or أَحْبَبُهُمْ. To have hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mandatory. The hub that we must have hub from Allah subhanahu for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But somehow those of us who have hub or claim to have hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a claim. It's not a good indicator to the external world that you really know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have khawf while you have hub, you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't have khawf, you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have khawf for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly so, then the degree of khawf that you have determines the degree of true knowledge that you have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah يفعل ما يشاء. Allah يفعل ما يشاء. Allah, remember, does as He pleases. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not investigated or asked why He does what He does, whatever He does. That is certainly a side of fear. Fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the infinite justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads to khawf. Because when we know ourselves and our imperfections and ungratefulness and rebelliousness and Allah's infinite justice, that leads to khawf, not to hope. But when we know Allah's extent of rahmah, Allah's extent of maghfirah, then comes raja'. That's the source of our raja', the source of our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَخْوَفُ النَّاسِ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ أَخْوَفُهُمْ لِرَبِّهِ. My dear brothers and sisters, so the degree of ilm that we acquire and of knowledge that we acquire, regardless of what we do outside and what we show in the outside, how much khawf there is in the qalb. With the hub and so on and so forth, how much khawf there is in the qalb determines how much we truly know. How much we truly know. أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ أَخْوَفُهُمْ لِرَبِّهِ. And then the last one, what was it? وأجهل الناس الفاخر بحسناته. سبحان الله. Who is the most ignorant of human beings? Interestingly, سبحان الله. The one who boasts with his or her حسنات. The one who is outwardly proud and boasts his حسنات or her حسنات. What are hasanat? Plural of hasana. That is good deeds. Hasana, in essence, is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I do a lot of hasanat, and the more hasanat, and fakhirun bi hasanati, I feel lofty. Feel not just happy, but feel fakhir, feel this air of lofty pride, not just pride, but lofty pride, fakhir. I don't want to say arrogance because it's even too much. More arrogance is much more than fakhir. To feel an air of, you know, loftiness, maybe even superiority. The person who feels like that because of the good deeds he or she does, that's ajhalunnas, the most ignorant of people. Why? Because he truly doesn't know Allah, and he truly or she truly doesn't know herself. Herself. Because once we realize more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about our nafs and self, those hasanat originate from minnatun min Allah azza wa jalla. Taftakhir, and ya abd, هذا العبد who shows this air of fakhr, of loftiness, because of good things he did. In other words, he's attributing those good things that he or she did, in essence, to himself or herself. Ma'am? Aina. Aina, the ayah that we have recited. Sakum Allah ta'ala khair. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَانَا ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلْنَاهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. And when we bestow upon man a ni'mah, and ni'mah is not just, again, wealth and health and kind of ilm, iman, the beautiful good traits and characteristics of the nafs, all of those are ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal originally. Then the human being says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. This I have received, I have obtained through my abilities, my ilm. Does not attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's an air of fakhr, and even sometimes of vanity. The person who truly is also jahil, is jahil that all the khayr that he or she enjoys, spiritual khayr, intellectual khayr, physical khayr, social khayr, subhanallah, all types of khayr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course that is realized by those who know. وَأَجْهَلُ النَّاسِ الْفَاخِرُ بِحَسَنَاتِهِ. My dear brothers and sisters, that's why also our deen teaches that ultimately, for a person, if we have two individuals, let's say one person spent the night sleeping and did not wake up for Qiyam al-Layl. Let's put it that. I'm not going to say did not wake up for Fajr, so that I don't communicate a subliminal message that may be received subliminally by some of us, and then subliminally we'll understand later that it's actually okay, because there is a way out. The nafs, that's how it operates. Nafsul ammara. So I'm going to say the one who, let's say one didn't wake up for Qiyamul Layl, and one woke up for Qiyamul Layl. Then the next day in the morning, the one who did not wake up for Qiyamul Layl felt grieved, felt belittled, felt he missed or she missed so much, felt shy, bashful, hayy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really felt it on his or her qalb. And the other person, in some instances, who woke up, alhamdulillah, for Qiyamul Layl, and the next morning, he felt bombastic. أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ. Which of the two parties truly deserves amn with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first or the second? The first one. Whom Allah loves more? The first or the second? The first one. Who is like Adam and who is like Iblis? Iblis did ibadah and ibadah and ibadah and ibadah and ibadah for Allah knows how long. And ultimately he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنَهُ. I am better than he. And that was over. Adam made a mistake and had not worshipped Allah for long as Iblis perhaps. And then, that one mistake, when he turned to Allah Azza wa Jalla, he turned with intense remorse. Whom Allah loves more and most? Allah has no love for the other one at all. And all his mahabba and his rahmah and his love were for Adam alayhi salam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Let us take our break here inshallah.